Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. When Albert and Gage return to South Dakota, it's as much for a gathering of friends as it is for a concert. This week is a great example as the husband and wife duo continue their run of dates with the Red Willow Band's 45th anniversary tour tomorrow at the Sioux River Folk Festival. Albert and Gage play their own set at the festival on Saturday. Native South Dakotan Chris Gage began performing in his teens. Over the years, he's played with stars such as Willie Nelson, Roy Clark, Roseanne Cash, Elvis Costello, Bonnie Raitt, Mavis Staples, Jerry Jeff Walker, and a list that goes on for days. Christine Albert is a lifelong musician. Like her husband Chris, she's appeared on the PBS series Austin City Limits. In 2005, Albert founded Swan Songs, a nonprofit that fulfills musical last wishes by organizing private concerts for individuals with terminal illness. Last year, she was inducted into the Texas Music Hall of Fame, and she is the chair emeritus of the Recording Academy, which is the organization that puts on the Grammys. Albert and Gage live in Austin, Texas, where they own and operate Moonhouse Studio and the Moonhouse Records label, and they're joining us this morning in SDPB's Leo P. Flynn Gallery in Sioux Falls for a live moment in sound. Albert and Gage, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know more about us than yeah. we remember.
We could have kept.
I got tired just hearing all that.
We could have kept going for a while. 45 years, though. That's a big wow.
I know that is a big run. And I went to college for a couple of years in Minneapolis in 73 and 74 and just decided I'd rather play in a band and moved to Sioux Falls. My brother had a farm outside of Brandon called Weathertop Farm. And slowly everybody came together. And actually, the guy that got us all together, Wally Sockerson, is landing at the airport as we speak, and he's going to be at the show tomorrow. So.
Wow.
And we played night before last in Pier in his hometown, and our host for the house concert series, Ron Lutz, we figured out booked Chris on his first gig 50 years ago.
Wow.
He was the judge at a talent contest, and he was like, oh, this guy's good. And he had a club at the time, so he asked Chris to play on the weekend.
The way he put it, he said he came up to me and went, hey, little boy, put together a band. We're all going to make some money.
And was it like that sort of universal support from the beginning, or were people trying to talk you out of a career in music?
No, it was. I was always felt supported. You know, my parents kind of went, really? What? You know, yeah. But it's really all I've ever done. I flipped burgers for a couple of years in high school and have just done music ever since.
And how did you two meet?
Through music in Austin. I saw him play with Jimmy Dale Gilmore, who's a good friend of mine. He was in his band at the time. And he was kind of new to town, and I hadn't heard him. And I thought, wow, that guitar player is great. And then I forgot about him. a few months later, my guitar player wasn't available, and neither were any of the guys that I usually call, kind of have a deep bench in Austin. And people weren't available, so I literally picked up the Musicians Union directory to try, like, who else am I not thinking of? And I got to G, and I saw Chris Gage, and I thought, oh, that's that guy that played with Jimmy Dale. He was good. So I called him to fill in, and he said no, he was booked. And then he called me the next day and said, actually, Jimmy Dale just told us he wants to cancel the next 3 months. So I could do 3 months, and then I'll be back on the road with Jimmy. And by the end of 3 months, he told Jimmy, I think I'm done. I'm going to go play with it. He was going through a lot of personal changes, and he didn't really want to be on the road for a while.
Yeah. The funny thing was, I was on tour with Jimmy Dale Gilmore, and we were in a town car, just three of us, and we were chasing Natalie Merchant's bus. We were opening a bunch of shows for her across the South. And I said, Jimmy, I got this gig with a woman I don't know, Christine Albert. And he said, oh, watch out. You'll fall in love with her. Yeah. And he was right.
Was that a huge step, though, or was it just feel like natural, like kind of move into that relationship that also was a musical collaboration? Because there's a risk there that, mm-hmm. you know, if you're doing both and the relationship is building, but yet there's a business side of things too.
It was, because we both had, like, I had a, you know, a solo career for many, right. many years. And so it was an adjustment in terms of creatively for us to sort of meet in the middle. you know, when you're choosing songs to record or to perform, you have to make sure they resonate with both people rather than just with one. And it was, but I felt so much joy. As soon as I started playing with Chris, it was like, I have never had so much fun making music with someone, and I couldn't imagine going backwards. Mm-hmm. And I had such confidence in musically and where we meet in the middle that the anxiety of performing sort of disappeared. It just became fun, and I didn't want to let that go. But I will say that we're doing a big purge in our house, and I was going through lots of stuff, and I found this postcard that a generic postcard somebody typed on a white postcard, and it said, lose the loud guitar player or lose a fan at that time. And it was like, that was the perfect manifestation of the risk that you're right. talking about, because I also had a following and people were like, what is this? But it gradually, obviously we've been together for,
and
you
her,
know, 23
her fans
years.
Were very protective of her
yeah,
and her
right.
career.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And so I just said, well, I'm sorry, you know.
This is the next part of who I am and what I'm going to do, yeah. which is something yeah. that every artist sort of has to go yeah. through, is say, this is how I'm evolving. I can't just stay the same because yeah. you love that particular
right.
Vision that you hold so dear to your heart.
Yeah. And since then, we've both kind of gone off and done our own thing as well. So there's right. a nice balance now where we express ourselves individually and then come back together and right. perform and recording.
Let's get to some music. What will you play for us first today?
Well, this is one to wake us up.
All right.
And maybe some of your listeners. We had a good friend we just lost recently, and he liked to refer to morning as the crack of noon. So sometimes that's where I'm at. But even 11:15 is early for me. We wrote this. It's called In the Morning. I can hear the rooster crowing. It's messing with my snoring in the morning, but I don't want to get up in the morning. Get some coffee in my cup. I can hear the rooster crowing, makes me mad. I can hear my neighbor's Harley and his basset hound and Charlie in the morning, but I don't want to get up in the morning. Get some coffee in my cup. I can hear my neighbor's Harley, makes me mad. I was dreaming of the south of France. You were in a negligee. We were toasting with the fine champagne on a balcony overlooking Central Bay. But I can hear my wife working. Ain't no duties that she's shirking in the morning. But I don't want to get up in the morning. Get some coffee in my cup. I can hear my wife working, makes me mad, so mad. Cappuccino in the morning, but I don't want to get up in the morning. Get some coffee in my cup. Got a headache from the vino, makes me mad. Maybe I should hit the snooze alarm. Sleep's the best thing for my head. Darling, you can make my dream come true if only you would get back in the bed. Smell the bacon frying. Can't believe that I've been whining in the morning. Makes me wanna get up in the morning. Get some coffee in my cup. I can smell the bacon frying. Makes me glad. Yeah, the morning sun is shining. It's not so bad. Thank you.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Moment in Sound from the Leo P. Flynn Gallery and SDPB Sioux Falls Studio. Albert and Gage are here with us ahead of the Sioux River Folk Festival and the Red Willow Band's 45th anniversary tour. They've got their own set that they're playing at the festival, solo projects, collaborations, and September 7th, a performance in conjunction with the Ken Burns Country Music Documentary in partnership with SDPB and the National Music Museum. What can you tell us about that?
September 6th, actually.
September 6th.
Pier. And they've got a guitar, a museum piece. I believe the guitar was an old Martin that was built for Merle Travis. And they've asked me to come in to Pier, my hometown, and play three or four songs on this guitar. I mean, you probably know more about it than I do. I guess it's in conjunction with the release of that documentary special events.
So what's it like to pick up an instrument that has been played by so many? I mean, you've played with so many people, and is this like a no kind of, you know?
I just hope it's a good guitar.
Okay.
You know, famous guitars aren't always a good guitar, but,
right.
but I'm sure it is. It's going to be quite the deal. I guess the curator travels with the instrument, and it's never to be out of his sight. And,
right.
And so I'll only see it for a brief period. I guess I'll get to meet it at some point and play a little bit before the performance.
We talked about your collaboration a little bit, and let's talk about the collaborations that you have with so many other musicians. That's just an integral part of what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we do individually. We both kind of fell into that with I have a regular Monday night show that my co-host has been Bill Kirchen, the guitar player from Commander Cody, for the last 3 years. I had another co-host before that, and Bill is transitioning out. It's called Mystery Monday, and the concept is that we have this four-piece band, and then every week we have a different guest artist. So we end up collaborating with lots of Austin musicians, and some of whom I know well and some of whom I don't, because everybody in the band suggests people. So it's a wonderful way to just kind of spontaneously make music with people, and Austin loves it. And then Chris has a Monday night show that he's done for 24 years. So a lot of people come to my early show and then go to hear him. And his started out as a solo piano, sitting at the grand piano, and then over the years, people wanted to hear him, so they'd come in and he'd have them sit in. So it continues at Don's, where there's these spontaneous, that's more spontaneous. He never knows who's going to show up. Yeah. Mine is more organized, because I'm a Virgo. He's a Leo.
But Sioux Falls' own Boyd Bristow has been guests at our shows down there.
Yeah, and Tom Peterson came to town, and it was really, and Kenny was the Mystery Monday guest a couple months ago when he came to record his album. And it's so fun to share combine our South Dakota music friends with our Texas music friends. And they're always, so impressed. Our friends in Texas go, wow, these guys are awesome. They're so much fun to play with.
Are you doing this because it's fun for you to do, and it must have that creative spark and that, that mm-hmm. weekly, daily work of being an artist, but it's also creating something for these other musicians and really for the community to have that in place? I can't imagine. Talk a little bit how you've seen with both those weekly programs the ripple effects of that.
You know, it's funny. I sit at the kind of in the center of this big bar and on Monday nights, and I play for an hour by myself, maybe a little longer. And as I'm playing, I can see musicians come through the front door. And they give me a little heads up, hey, I'm here. So by the time I'm ready to open up about 11 o'clock to special guests, I've got my pick of the room. And everybody knows I might call them and I might mm-hmm. not. And they're all very gracious about that. And I keep one of my old guitars there that they can just jump up and... everybody gets two or three songs, and maybe four if you're an out-of-towner, But I've had people come by from all over the world to sit in with me. And it sparks me, and it's helped develop my ear as a musician. I mean, mm-hmm. quite often I'm playing a song in front of 100 people that I've never heard before in my life. And mm-hmm. I listen for a little while, and then I go, all right, I kind of see where he's going, and... So it's good for both of us. They get exposure in Austin in front of my audience, and I get to learn from them.
And the community aspect of it, you were totally right on, because it's not just the musicians and the community that creates, but for the audience. And that his particular gathering at Don's, we've played over the years, because we also play there as a band once a month, and we did a duo every week for about 5 years. But we have played at least 3 weddings, that people that wanted to get married at Don's on a Monday night or a Saturday night, and several memorials. And the last one was just last month, a very good friend of ours, and he and his wife have been kind of the cornerstone best dancers in Austin, and just beautiful, gracious couple that everyone loves. And he was diagnosed with cancer and died very quickly after 2 months. So his memorial was there a month ago or so, and it was completely packed, and every musician in town and everybody that's an audience member that just loves Jim and Linda. And it was a beautiful thing. And there was a reporter there from the Statesman, our local paper, and realized, wow, this is a phenomenon. This is more than about one person. This is about this community that's gathered around this gig. So they did they ended up doing a 3-page story in the paper with all these color photos. And it was about Jim and how beloved he was, but also about the fact that this is what kind of evolves in Austin, that it's more than a performer-audience relationship. It's a community that builds around music, and it's the live music capital of the world. And it's true. It's unique in that way. The audience and the musicians are very intertwined in Austin.
I want to talk to you more about community and about loss and the music's mm-hmm. connection to dealing with loss after break. But before we go to a break, we need to hear more music, okay, I think, sure. on Moment and okay. Sound.
Well, I mentioned Tom Peterson, who came to Austin, and he recorded an album with Chris, and a world-class songwriter from South Dakota who lives in Vermilion now. And we did an entire album of his music many years ago. So we're going to sing the title song, Dakota Lullaby. Seems appropriate on South Dakota Public Broadcasting Radio.
I called Tom when we were about to make that record, and I said, you know, we're going to do some press. We're going to let people know about this. And he says, oh, I don't know why you have to bring my name into it.
That sounds like something that he would say.
12 songs are all written by one guy that nobody had heard of. They might be curious.
And this particular song has been around for a long time. I know Boyd sings it, and it's been covered by South Dakota artists before, and it's a beautiful song called Dakota Lullaby.
Spring, hear the last of the sad coyotes cry. Hear the ghosts of the plains sing of the buffalo again, and fall asleep to a Dakota lullaby. Of the ones who have returned to this holy land on which their fathers toiled. If you fall down on your knees, put your ear down to the earth, you might hear their spirit singing in the soil. That black crow calling as it comes home in the spring. Hear the last of the sad coyotes cry. Hear the ghosts of the plains sing of the buffalo again, and fall asleep to a Dakota lullaby. above the dusty prairie shine. There's a million sleeping graves. They're gonna rise up from their graves and sing the songs that hold no trace of time. Hear that black crow calling as it comes home in the spring. Hear the last of the sad coyotes cry. Hear the ghost of the plains sing of buffalo again. Fall asleep to a Dakota lullaby. Fall asleep.
Thank you.
We'll have more on In the Moment with Albert and Gage after break. You're on listener-supported SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live this morning from the Leo P. Flynn Gallery in SDPB's Sioux Falls studio. We have a lovely live audience in the space with us today. So thank you for coming down for Moment in Sound with Christine Albert and Chris Gage. Albert and Gage are here with us ahead of the Red Willow Band's 45th anniversary tour tomorrow at the Sioux River Folk Festival. And Albert and Gage play their own set at the festival on Saturday. And Christine, I want to talk a little bit because I was reading some things that you've written about loss and community in Austin, and just when you go through things, you go through the death of loved ones and your own personal trials, how much that community has pulled together to sort of lift you up, not just your story, but the story of Chris and so many others. Tell us a little bit about Swan Song and some of the efforts to take that that understanding of the connection of music and bring it into a nonprofit where there's a structure to it to help other people who are suffering.
Yeah, Swan Songs is a nonprofit that I founded, and it fulfills musical last wishes. So it's a link between people who are at the end of life and the Austin music community. And the idea was sparked for me personally by being asked to do that in 1992 for a man and his wife that used to come hear me play all the time. And he was 40 years old and developed a brain aneurysm, so they could no longer come out. And it was before the era of house concerts. It wasn't really common to have a concert in a private home. But she called and asked if I would be willing to bring my trio and play for him at the house because he couldn't get out anymore. And so we did that, and they invited some friends and family, and they all got to share the experience. And I remember as I was leaving thinking, wow, if this meant so much, it meant so much to us as musicians, and I could see what the impact it was having on him and his friends, I thought there must be a lot of people in Austin, especially where music is so important, that would love to hear their favorite music one more time and can no longer go out, but they would have no idea how to contact someone, and you're going to call their agent, or, you know, family's under a lot of stress. So I talked to a friend of mine who was a therapist and who was just in the process of losing someone who was on hospice care, and we thought of creating a link between those communities. And we started it informally at around that time, and musicians volunteered, and Gay Logan was her name. She spread the word in the hospice community, but it was unstructured. And then I got very busy with other things, and the idea just kept coming back, and I got asked to do it a couple more times. So I thought, there's really something here. This needs to happen. So eventually I thought, I wanted to use professional musicians because you're going into a very charged environment, very emotional, and you know, they're asking for very specific style of music. It's whatever's meaningful for them. So it's mariachi or it's blues. and or heavy metal, literally, we've had a request for a Japanese violin. So you want to be able to turn to someone who can really deliver that, turn their schedule around in a few days, and rise to the occasion in a very emotional environment with the family. So we wanted to use professional musicians, but I wanted to compensate the musicians and not be asking for favors. So eventually I went, okay, this needs to be a nonprofit. We need to raise the money, and that's the program expense. So that's what we did in 2005, and I had the idea for the name Swan Songs. And once I had the idea for the name, it all sort of came together for me. It was like I needed that vision of what that represented. And the first person I sang for was named John Swan. So I didn't even think of that when I first thought of Swan Songs, and then when I realized, wait, John Swan, oh, this is perfect. So we created a nonprofit called Swan Songs, and now it's been almost 15 years, and this year we're on track to get about 350, 375 requests. So every day we get a request, so we're always juggling different styles of music that people have asked for. More and more, Beatles, Bob Dylan, Eagles, a little bit less Frank Sinatra. You can see the evolution of the demographic of who's requesting.
I did one, this old boy, he wanted A Boy Named Sue. That was his swan song. And when I sang that last line, he just about rolled off his bed. He was so happy.
So we've been going for a number of years, and here we are in South Dakota, and we have a partner. Our only other real affiliate is with Avera at Home Hospice here, based in Sioux Falls, and they cover a large territory. And we licensed the program to Avera because they were so reputable, so established. They weren't starting from scratch. We knew that they already had all of structure in place, and they were very interested in offering this program to their patients. So our board approved that partnership, and it's been wonderful to watch it evolve. And Robin Prunty from Avera came to Austin a couple months ago and reported to the board and brought videos of their concerts. And it's very gratifying for me because we have a real family and emotional connection in South Dakota to see these concerts happening here. And Chris and I actually did one in his hometown in Pierre yesterday and sang for a woman who's 102. So her kids were there, and we sang a bunch of songs from her.
What did she want to hear?
She had actually, they hadn't requested anything specific.
Yeah.
But the hospice chaplain that was there had a great idea as to find out what year they were married and look up songs from that year.
Yeah.
So we did some. We happened to know a bunch of those songs. But then while we were there, her kids said her favorite song was The Rose, and she also loved Que Sera Sera. So we looked up lyrics online, and Chris sang The Rose, and I sang Que Sera Sera. And she sang along. It was really sweet.
Oh, yeah, she was happy.
And we did, you know, Sentimental Journey and You Are My Sunshine, and I sang La Vie en Rose, French song that I do, which was 1949. It was listed as one of the songs. I was like, okay, we got that one.
Popular again in 2019
because
of the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what will you play for us next, please?
I think Chris is going to sing
Black House Gold?
Yeah. We have a lot of South Dakota themed songs for you today.
The new shot through Denver, Chicago and St. Louis, up and down the East Coast, through the heart of Dixie too. And the story got bigger every time it got told, how the creeks and the rivers run yellow with Black Hills gold. They poured in by the hundreds to muddy Deadwood Town. Some panned the streams, others dug for it in the ground. 'Twas a few got lucky, most only got old, and their hair grew silver looking for Black Hills gold. I've never met an angel in this wicked old world. The closest I'll get is a Deadwood dance hall girl. And I've never been to heaven, oh, but sure I've been told, all the harps and halos are made of Black Hills gold. Then the sharps and the hustlers
to follow their prey. The legion of soil doves to help them lead them astray. In the upstairs parlor, all pleasure is sold for a pinch of dust, shining with Black Hills gold. Flop houses and card rooms filled with desperate men, and a few lost souls found their way to the opium dens. First taste is heaven, oh, but then the devil takes hold. You dream of valleys of poppies, the color of Black Hills gold. I've never met an angel in this wicked old world. Closest I'll get is a Deadwood dance hall girl. I've never been to heaven, oh, but sure I've been told all the harps and halos are made of Black Hills gold. Climbed on a stump in a dry riverbed. He gave a sermon concerning revelation in a fiery end. Prayed for salvation for the sheep in his fold. Said, lead us not to temptation, just lead us to the Black Hills gold. I've never met an angel in this wicked old world. Closest I'll get is a Deadwood dance hall girl. And I've never been to heaven, oh, but sure I've been told all the harps and halos are made of Black Hills gold. I've never been to heaven, oh, but sure I've been told all the harps and halos I made the Black Hills gold.
Albert Engage.
I love that. Another Tom Peterson
Tom
song.
Peterson.
Albert Engage on a very special Moment in Sound, and it was Tom Peterson who came on the show and did a Moment in Sound and sort of slid your CD across the table at me and said, oh, you need to listen to this.
Oh, really?
So I'm so privileged finally I get to meet you in person.
Oh, good.
One more song before we let you go, and don't forget to come see them on Saturday at the Sioux River Folk Festival.
All right. Thank you so much. We've enjoyed this immensely. We're going to do a song by a Texas songwriter who passed away a couple years ago. It was a very close friend, Jimmy LaFave. He's an amazing vocalist and songwriter. But this always feels like a South Dakota song to me. It's called Buffalo, Return to the Plains. And his dad was from Gregory, South Dakota. So Jimmy loved South Dakota, and you can hear it in this song.
Lonesome travelers and rambling types shuffling down some unknown trail tonight. Hobo jungles and your boxcar dreams, living only by your ways and means. Carry on and remain. A new light shines upon you once again. Carry on and remain. Buffalo, return to the plain. Hearts beating wild. you've seen it all, but you carry on and remain. Let your spirit rise up above the pain. Carry on and remain. Buffalo, return to the plain.
Thank you so much,
Lori. Christine Albert, Chris Gage, thank you for being here. We really appreciate your time.
Our pleasure.